Right, that one's not as bad. That one's not as bad. Right, that one's not as bad. Oh, it's happening again. Oh, I need to get a new seat.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Movie Chef Podcast, where we make a meal out of movies. Here we are, Cormac, welcome.
And hiya.
Host Cormac, my executive chef, welcome. How's let's not get straight into it. It's time for your annual appraisal.
Fucking hell.
Because I'm in a real foul mood this week. I am full of cold. My chest hurts. My throat hurts. My throat hurts from how many COVID tests I'm having to do on a morning before I go to work. There's nothing like getting ready for work and scraping your throat. Yeah, because I'm coughing every day at work, so I need to prove to her I don't have COVID. So every morning I'm scraping my throat and stuff, and my face is leaking. How's your week been?
Let's leave it at that. My face is leaking.
I want to give you your appraisal because you've been giving me some shit about my tardiness lately.
And it's justified because every time we log on, 2 minutes, 5 minutes, 2 minutes, and just then you left the audio running and I heard you taking a piss, so...
Right, so for that, I'm going to give out our email address, which is, my email address, cheftebs, C-H-E-F-T-E-B-B-S, at outlook.com. Email in your appraisal of Cormac's work over the past year. We're going to read them out next week. Cheftebs at outlook.com.
A lot funnier when he was drinking. I think that'll be.
So what do we know? We're missing football. I appreciate your dedication to this.
It's okay. It's okay. You know, I think that for the Euros, I think we should have turned this into just like a football podcast. And just talked about football, watched football whilst talking about football, and we could also maybe play Football Manager whilst I kicked the ball against the wall. Just fucking quadruple threat. I think that's what we should have done.
This sounds like a mutiny. This sounds like you're storming my movie Capitol Hill.
Just letting you know now that I'm starting a soccer chef podcast. All corn, all, and this is going to be all day. It's going to be like a 24 hour podcast, and it's going to hear everything. People are going to hear me taking a shit. People are going to hear me shouting at my kids. You know, everything.
And we're tuning for episode 24 of this 24 hour long. Sit down. Stop it. Take your fingers out of that.
Yeah. Oh. Put the fucking remote. Put the remote down.
Hey, hand me that remote. So this week we are going to be talking about the Zack Snyder. It's been a while since we talked Snyder. Army of the Dead.
I think we should just call this Zack Snyder's Movie Chef Podcast.
The Zack Snyder's. Welcome to Zack Snyder's Movie Chef Podcast. In Zack Snyder's vision.
Yeah, definitely. Because I think there was maybe a week where he didn't get a mention, but I would be safe to say that over the year and whatever we've been doing this, of the 70 episodes that we've done, I would be safe to say that he's been spoken about 68 times.
Yeah, it's basically him is up there. Ray finds his penis.
Yeah. Or any big cock. I know that somebody had mentioned it to me on Twitter the other day, talking about. It was generally just that, oh, do you know what? I heard about John Hamm's big cock too. And I was like, see? See?
Was it John Hamm?
It was.
Imagine getting a tweet off John Hamm going, it's true.
Thanks for the mention, big dog. And then send me a wee picture of his cock.
No, and he just sends you the eggplant emoji.
It's just the shaft. You can't see anything else but just the shaft. And then I go, whoa, it is big.
It's like the time in Red Dwarf when Crichton were turned human and he handed Lister a picture And he goes, "What do you make of this?" And they handed him another Polaroid, and now this. And he juggles the pictures around until he puts one on top of the other, and his eyes go wide. And he goes, "I don't know what you're doing, Crichton, to give yourself a double Polaroid." we've got some trailers this week. Now, I'm thinking you're going to hate probably one of these.
Yes. Well, you'd be surprised.
So the first one is Amazon Prime's The Tomorrow War, starring Chris Pratt, coming out very soon, also starring Yvonne Strahovski and J.K. Simmons. And it is about basically some army soldiers come from the future to tell people that the world's gone to shit because aliens have attacked. And it takes modern day volunteers into the future to fight for the present. And Chris Pratt is one of them.
I already have so many questions. Like, I have so many questions.
I'm looking forward to watching this.
So it's like, first and foremost, I think it's quite a good idea. All right.
Yes.
I think it's one of those ideas where it's like, oh, fucking bit of Terminator. Going into the future, people coming back, trying to get people from nowadays to fight for the future, to keep the future. And I was like, yeah, but you get caught in that Terminator timeline where it's going to be an infinite fucking loop. So that's probably going to be the end of the movie, where at the end of the movie, Chris Pratt dies, but then the people who go back in time are the people that he's trained to go back in time, you know, to get him back, to go back to the future. And it's just going to be an infinite fucking loop of Chris Pratt's going into the future and dying.
Or one of them will be him who sent himself back from the future. Yeah. I like
the
concept.
No new ideas. We all know there's no new ideas in Hollywood. So somebody is sitting in an executive room going, let's put Chris Pratt into something that kind of looks like a dinosaur and let's terminate the shit out of it.
Yeah, but the concept of, I mean, you know, you think in the future, aliens have attacked, the world's gone to shit, there's no more Wi-Fi, there's no more internet, you know, everything's down. You need people with the knowledge, and if you've got the ability to time travel, I don't know where that's going from.
Hey. They have no Wi-Fi, but they can.
They've got no Wi-Fi.
Who needs Wi-Fi when you can time travel?
Now, the second trailer we watched was Gunpowder Milkshake, coming to Netflix.
Yeah.
Karen Gillan, Lena Headey, Chloe Coleman, Michelle Yao, Angela Bassett, Carl Gugino, and I think, what's his name was in there?
Paul Giamatti.
And this is Assassins. It didn't really give a lot away about the story. It's just basically one woman's quite pissed off and she's fighting a lot of people. Yeah. What do you make of this? What was your first impression?
First time I seen it, I was like, oh, Karen Gillan getting the vehicle. Good.
Yep.
You know, she's pretty decent. Then seeing Carla googly googly googly, and I was Carla googly googly's in this. I would watch Carla googly googly anytime.
Sexual awakenings.
Sexual times.
Yeah.
Then I seen Lena Headey and I got more excited and I was like, yep.
And then you throw Michelle Yao in there and you're like,
okay. And then you throw and then I see Michelle Yao at the end and I'm sitting there going, This is right up my alleyway. And then they start with the whole kind of irreverent kind of talk, and it's kind of like, oh, you can see what do you call it? What was that stupid movie that I didn't like and you liked, the mystery thing with fucking Craig thingamajiggers, Daniel Craig? What was it called?
Knives Out.
Knives Out. It kind of gave me like a Knives Out kind of feeling, you know. So it gave me that kind of era, that kind of feeling, that, you know, that kind of cinematography. Give me that kind of feeling.
Well, I got very much like Kingsman from this.
Yeah.
That kind of uber hyper reality sort of, everything looks stylish. You know, you're watching a movie, but it's its own little world, even though it's just a normal everyday world. There's this distinct look about it, a distinct feel. It's like comic book sort of thing. And then I started thinking, this is what that Charlie's Angels reboot should have been. This got that feel of, there's this guy, Paul Giamatti, who's in charge of a group of female assassins. There's incredible female cast. Violent, it's probably a bit.
And we all know that the twist is he's the bad guy. We all know.
Oh,
that.
Or Angela Bassett.
No, Angela Bassett's not the bad person.
Do you not?
No.
Lena Headey.
Wash your fucking mouth. Do you know what?
Yeah.
She's a bad bitch. You know.
Let's ask Jerome Flynn.
Can't work together.
Can't even be in the same room together. Can't even be on the same island together. Yeah, this is the final shot of the final series. We're going to announce who's the new king. It's the most amazing moment in television. And you need to fuck off somewhere else and go and have a beer, dear. All right, then see you in your room. Is that because your bird's over there? Right, okay. Be professional, Jerome.
It's not even him, it's her.
That's what he says.
But she can do what she wants because she's gorgeous.
So,
can I just say that that's the biggest puddle of water I've ever seen in my entire life.
I'm drinking a tankard of water. I feel so dehydrated with this cold. It's awful. And like seriously, you even cough gently into the, you know, into your hand with a mask on, and everybody just looks around at you like you're fucking gonna kill them all.
Well, listen, it has to happen. You know, this is now, we're now living in a world where anybody coughs or anybody, like my daughter even tonight sneezed at the dinner table, and I was like, what the fuck?
Right, if we can be serious for a minute.
Sorry,
Ned Beatty. Ned Beatty, actor from, of course, Superman, Toy Story.
I'm glad. I'm glad. Do you know that you sent me this clip, right? You sent me the article. And I was like, yeah, we'll talk about Ned Beatty a wee bit. And so I clicked on the article, and do you know what the article said? On BBC, Toy Story's Lotso dies.
Yeah.
And I was looking at it going, fuck me. Ned Beatty was in Deliverance, All the President's Men, Superman. He was in fucking Network. You know, he had that speech, that like 4-minute monologue. When it comes to like the power in America, it's money, money, money. Yeah, that big 4 or 5 minute speech should have won a fucking Oscar by itself, you know, against Peter Finch. You know, Peter Finch, one of the greatest actors of all time, won a posthumous Oscar. I think he was the first one to win a posthumous Oscar as well. And he's getting brought up in the BBC as his obituary is Toy Story 3's Lotso dies. I thought it was disgusting.
No, it is. It is. I always had him from the Superman films, though. Yeah. That's who I grew up with. That's how I remember him. I'll be totally honest. I was horrified when I saw Deliverance growing up.
Everybody only remembers Deliverance for one thing, and people don't remember how good
two things. The banjo duels and.
Yes, but come on. Like, if I say Deliverance to you, right? If I say Deliverance to you, what's the first thing that pops in your head? Isn't. It's Ned Beatty being raped over a tree. You know what I mean?
Do you want to come camping? Fuck you. But yeah, look, he had an astound career. He had obviously playing notice in Superman, Charlie Wilson's War, he was in Shooter. God, he was in so many films, it's unbelievable. He was one of those that was always just solid ensemble cast member sort of thing.
You know? Yeah, definitely.
But no, sad. 83.
He also played Dan's father in Roseanne.
Yes. Mm. Yes. Can we watch Roseanne's now? No, we can't.
I think we can watch the old ones because she wasn't a megalomaniac racist bitch back then.
Maybe what she
was. We think, you know, this is the problem. I keep saying this to people, and I said this to my mother. There's nothing worse in the world than a 60-year-old, or sorry, a 50-plus-year-old woman with Facebook. There's nothing worse in the world. That will cause the downfall of the Western civilization. Fucking plus 50-year-old women's in Facebook. Like, it's true.
Tell us more.
Fuck them. I don't mean like fuck them, but I mean like
Jesus, get them off Christ. He did hand motions
really,
and everything.
This is taking a really weird twist here.
I'm so glad this isn't a video podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, when he said fuck them, when he says not like fuck them, because obviously I know what that means, not like fuck them, I don't really need a hand gesture. But the old fashioned double fingered.
you don't need to say anything. All you need to go is. Everybody knows what it is.
Yeah, we're not even going to describe what it is, but woohoo. Zoe Kravitz is directing a film.
Yeah, this is weird. The first couple of lines of that. Read the headline in that.
So, Empire reporting: Zoe Kravitz directing Channing Tatum in new thriller Pussy Island.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now. Is this like
Shutter Island.
No, that was not where I was going. Do you know what they're calling this Pussy Island? Is this for feminism? I'm trying to tread carefully around this.
Shut up.
Is this for feminism? What other people would, when they try and reclaim words for themselves? Do you see where I'm going?
What I thought you were going to ask was an island made of a vagina?
I'm trying to have a commentary on society here and the use of people in certain groups taking back slurs and as empowerment. And do you think, is the island shaped and made of a vagina? No, Cormac, I didn't.
Well, I think it would make more sense if the island was shaped like a booby.
A palm tree for each nipple. Let's be honest, one pair of boobs.
Water would go into the crevice and that would be us who would be drowned. But on a booby, we'd have at least a hill. All right. So maybe we can get in touch with Joey Kravitz's people. Maybe we can get the name changed to Titty Island.
Well, so that's what we're going to call it from now on until we find out that it's actually some deep meaning for the film. But so Channing Tatum is going to.
If it is, I apologize.
Yeah, this is probably like Pussy was the name of my great grandmother. Oh, shit.
She the underground slayer. No.
So they wrote a film about a guy and he takes a woman to an island and the island isn't as the same. Maybe it is.
Oh, I see.
She's ready for a party of a lifetime, despite the epic setting, beautiful people, ever flowing champagne and late night dance parties. Frida can sense that there's more to this island than meets the eye. It's a transformer. It transforms into a vagina.
See, we're getting more. You see, I take back my apology. I retract the apology.
Wow. I can't wait to see Titty Island. It's probably going to be a lot of shit, to be honest. But
yeah, of course it is.
But I just like the name Pussy Island. I'm just thinking, it's like Inglourious Basterds. They call it that just to see if they can get away with putting big posters of that out and putting Inglourious Bastards up in lights as outside the film and people just run, yeah, whatever, fuck it.
Or the spy who shagged me or something like that there.
Well, he did what was it? I think it was Octopussy. It was supposed to be called the second one or something like that. The spy who shagged me, it was supposed to be something different, like Octopussy, but Octopussy or something, and they won't let him have it, so they put Shagged in instead. Did you see Greenland?
Do you know what? I haven't, because I think we had this conversation and it was during pandemic when it came out. I see the movies like 2012 and, you know, Armageddon and Deep Impact and stuff like that there. I get absolutely zero pleasure out of them. Like,
can I just say then, if you don't enjoy those films, I think you'd enjoy Greenland.
But it's about the end of the world.
Yeah, but it's from the perspective of the characters trying to live out their final 12 hours and get to safety. But it's not the big bombastic destruction. It's a more on the ground level. It's like, imagine, so it's almost like an episode of 24.
Well, like people, 12 hours, people just crying about the end of the world.
No, they're trying to get to, I'm not going to tell you where they're trying to get to because that's a spoiler.
Finland.
Yes, Finland. Well, okay. Well, I don't want to spoil it, but basically the first one is about Gerard Butler.
Something tells me they got there, Paul.
And his wife, Marina Baccarin, are trying to get to Greenland to get to safety. In the second one, I'm not going to tell you if they got there or not, but Gerard Butler returns. And the film is called Greenland Migration. Watch the first one. Tell us what you think next week.
I'm not going to, because it makes me sad.
No, you're not. By the way, we are going to be doing King Arthur. We're going to do that next week. Have you seen Wrath of Man yet? Wrath of Man with Jason Statham, Guy Ritchie's new film. Well, come aboard me hearties and get it watched for next week, because we'll be talking Guy Ritchie next week. So we're going to do King Arthur and Wrath of Man.
Okay, cool.
Whistle Stop Tour of Guy Ritchie. And we'll talk some of his other films as well, which would be nice. What else do we have? Oh, one of our favourite films. Can I put it out there? In Bruges.
In Bruges, yes.
I'd say that's my top five.
It's a fantastically talented movie with it's everything. It hits every point.
Directed by Martin McDonagh, it had Colin Farrell and Brendan Gleeson, and we are going to be doing an episode of In Bruges, and
In Bruges.
we are going to be doing it in Bruges. It's our dream to get to Bruges, even if it's for an afternoon on a Eurostar. We'll just record ourselves on the Eurostar driving through Bruges, even if it's like getting to Calais or something, and we're going to do In Bruges. The episode's that's the only reason.
We have such low expectations in life, though, don't we? Like, we want to do a podcast in Bruges, and we want to do one in the Ukraine as well.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to do that. Do you think there's bound to have been people who have podcasted for Inside Chernobyl?
I've watched lots of documentaries of people like doing TV shows, so I would be very surprised if somebody hasn't done one. I have watched a great documentary about people who go inside the Chernobyl zone, you know, and basically live in the defunct apartments and stuff. That's exciting, but there's military patrol and stuff like that there, so it's kind of like a cat and mouse game that they play. But like, you can get into serious fucking bother, like going into Pripyat and stuff. Like, you're like, we're talking between 5 and 10 years in prison, you know. Real fucking heavy
shit.
Don't like,
they don't want you taking anything out. They don't want you
taking
anything in. No. So starred Colin Farrell and Brendan Gleeson, and they're going to all be reuniting for the film Banshees, coming out in 2022. It is obviously the two cast members and the director. And the brief synopsis for the project is that it is set on a remote island off the Irish coast. The pair will play longtime friends who experience tension when one of them suddenly decides they no longer want to be friends. I think that sounds a much more interesting concept for a film than future soldiers come back from the future to pick up modern day soldiers to come to fight aliens, and then one of them's got. That sounds amazing with them two acting.
You know, the good thing, like, I think the good thing about Nick Martin McDonagh and I can't remember his brother's name, the two McDonagh boys, like the movies that they do are just very, very interesting. You know, they've done Billboards with Frances McDormand as well. You know, they've done Cavalry.
What did you think of that?
Brilliant. Really, really enjoyed it.
It's one of those for me that I've never gone back and watched again. I enjoyed it. But like 12 Years a Slave, Lincoln, Billboards, there's all these groups of films that come out and they're absolutely raved about at the time. And I've just never gone back and watched it, but I know I enjoyed it watching it. So why have I not gone back and watched it?
But I think it's one of those ones where everybody wants escapism. You know what I mean? Like, well, the reason basically why me and you started doing this podcast, everybody needs a tiny bit of escapism and mental therapy as well, I think. Talking and
I've got the original WhatsApp message you said, if I don't get out of this house, I'm going to murder somebody. That's
Yeah, it's not to mental me. Therapy. This is all mental therapy. But like I know myself, right? There's very few movies in life that I absolutely fucking adore and I would watch again and again and again. LA Confidential is probably one of them. I've watched LA Confidential easy about 30 times. I could watch it again and again. There are many more movies that I really fucking love, but I don't watch them. Every 10 years or so, I'll revisit them. But when it comes to like just escapism and things like that, there, I would kind of revert to Star Wars and fucking Marvels and, you know, going on Disney Plus and, you know, sticking on a fucking Pixar movie or things, or, you know, TV shows is another one. But I think it's self-therapy. You know, you can't just keep watching something that is revered, you know, because sometimes these movies are fucking really hard to watch. You know, so, you know, I really enjoyed Spotlight. But I'm not going to watch Spotlight I'm not going to watch it every couple of months to cheer myself up. Do you know what I mean? That's not what
I love. I get a pizza and why do we stick on that?
No, do you remember that movie we enjoyed about the downfall of the Catholic Church, Renzo? Yeah. Oh, that one about them fucking the Wayans? Aye. Aye, that one. Aye, come on. Get into the bedroom.
Back on the DVD.
But yeah, it's all escapism. It's escapism.
Yeah. But I am really looking forward to that one. It is escapism. But okay, so speaking of escapism, Marvel have given us our next injection of heroin for the summer. Loki has come out. First episode of 6 was last week. If you're listening to this, the second episode will have been out. But we haven't seen that yet. Have you seen the second one yet?
No, I leave it to the
No, I haven't
weekend.
seen the second one. I don't know anything that's happened in it. I've managed to avoid it. So what do you make of the first episode so far, then? What do you think of this concept of Loki in his own TV show?
It's interesting. I knew instantly with WandaVision that I wasn't going to like it. I think me and you both, you'd watched it before me, and I'd message him on this better get better. I think that Loki as a character is a hell of a lot more interesting than Wanda or Winter Soldier or Falcon. I think there's so much to his bow, to even to Tom Hiddleston's bow. He's an interesting character. Now the whole Time Lords kind of thing is new, so the Watchers and stuff like that there. And there's something that I read as well about, I can't remember where Stan Lee was in it, but apparently he was one of the Watchers as one of his cameos.
Yeah,
I never picked up on that.
that was at the end of Guardians of the Galaxy 2. So he was kind of positioned as reporting back to the Watchers. That's why he's always in a different situation. But this is, so we're taking it that this time variance authority have got Loki. Very cleverly sort of brushed under the carpet the fact that the Avengers messed with time and that was supposed to happen. But Loki messes with time while they're messing with time, and that wasn't supposed to happen. Yeah,
But
okay.
yeah, I know, but we're getting into Terminator aspects again, because
Yeah,
surely
I
if he
think they've
messes
really.
if he yeah if he messes with time, then he was supposed to mess with time, because you can't
No,
realistically mess with time anyway.
but this is what the TVA is saying. There is one timeline, and there is a group of people who know what happened 300 years ago. They know what will happen 300 years from now. They know the path that we are all going to lead. There is no free will because they have determined it, and it is on its course. Loki was one of these variants. And he's obviously gone into this place. And again, I think they had to have somewhere. This whole time thing had to be people saying we weren't going to interfere with the snap and with Thanos. Because that whole argument every time now is Eternals turn up. Where were you when Thanos was around? Where were you when Thanos? Namor, the submariner. Where were you when Thanos turned up? Did you just stay in Atlanta? You know what I mean? It's always that argument that's going to keep coming. So I think the fact that they say, well, we're not going to have any impact on human history or the universe's history, we're not going to get involved, we just watch it. And so the thing I tweeted the other day, and one that shows how quite powerful this place is, that one of the bureaucrats had a drawer full of Infinity Stones that had been found throughout history, and they were completely powerless. Now, I saw Loki take one of the time stones and pocket it. So I think it's an interesting concept, the fact that can he sneak one of the stones out and is there an Infinity Stone back? I think it's a very easy way of writing in all tropes. But as a concept of him having to go and hunt himself down, I mean, there's already rumors that there's going to be a Lady Loki, old man Loki.
I'm not believing. Do you know what? I'm not believing any of the rumors at all. Like, I'm not.
Well,
See if somebody comes to me with a story and goes, "Oh, this is how we introduce blah blah blah." No, because I've been burnt. I've been burnt, and I'm not going to get excited about
can I get you excited about one thing I'm getting excited about?
it. Okay.
Richard E. Grant is cast in this.
Oh, okay.
Now, what if he was Old Man Loki?
Now that's interesting, but
Richard E. Grant.
we all know that he's not going to be Old Man Loki, and he's just going to be some random person like
Some
Benicio,
psychiatrist or
like Benicio del Toro. Like some random person in the universe. You go, what the fuck are
nah,
you doing in this?
I'd love the guy whoever he's hunting down to be Richard E. Grant playing villainous Loki as an older man and playing Tom Hiddleston. You know what I mean? I thought he'll camp it right up.
Or he goes back in time. With Neil and I, and it's Paul McGann and Richard E. Grant still living in that flat, worried about the rat in the sink.
So yeah, look, I'm interested in this. I think it's starting to take things in a new or in any direction other than taking things right round. As you mentioned, WandaVision, we're starting with Scarlet Witch, and look at the end, she's become Scarlet Witch, and you're like, We
We
just
knew
Paul
this.
was very clever because you never told us she were called Scarlet Witch. You always told us she were called Wanda. All right, okay, so now she's Scarlet Witch. Okay, that's fine. So at the end of Endgame, he gets given the shield. You're Captain America, and we start it off by watching it and believe that. And at the end of the series, wow, you really are Captain America. It's like, we know, we just, you
We
told
knew
us.
that. We knew that. We knew that at the end, in
But there's,
Endgame.
but for this, it really feels like, I mean, obviously it's keeping Loki in the series, which is great. I think it's Marvel's never killing anybody off and leaving them dead. There's just an open playing field to bring people back now. How much longer before they bring Robert Downey Jr. back from a
No,
different
they can't. Money-wise, they can't. Sure,
from a
what is
different
it? What?
timeline or something?
Yeah, but money-wise, they can't, because
I just puts a
every
little bit
movie,
fuck all.
but every movie that he's in, they have to give him, like, was it 15% of the gross? It's like,
Nah, Doctor Doolittle fucking tanked, right?
I
Before
know,
the
but he doesn't
he
care. Well, he doesn't care. He's worth about 400 million. He's his legacy is already there. He is ground zero for the Marvel Universe. He is
and he
ground
did that too.
zero. Yeah, and he is the end. He is the alpha and the omega when it comes to every kid knows who Iron Man is. Every man, every woman knows who Iron Man is. He Robert Downey Jr. and specifically the character Iron Man. There's only a few people around the world. You can take a photograph of Michael Jackson to the top of fucking of the Himalayas, and the Sherpa that's at the top will know the picture of fucking Michael Jackson. You could take a picture of David Beckham to the outback in Australia and show it to a sheep farmer, and he would know who David Beckham is. Iron Man now is exactly that. You could take that picture anywhere, and anybody will know who he is.
But what I'm saying is, Robert Downey Jr. said, "I'm leaving. Kill me off. I'm going." First thing he did, absolutely sucked. It was dreadful. He was dreadful in it. Yes, he made a lot of
Yeah.
money. No, he made a lot of money. Fair enough. But there will come a time when studios will stop saying to him, "We're giving you money to make fucking Sherlock Holmes 3 because they keep losing money. The only thing we're going to pay you to do is come back into MCU, and they'll drag
Jared
it. They'll bring him back."
Butler still gets a gig. You know what I mean? There's fucking, you look at the shite that he's in, like the utter fucking garbage year in, year out, and then every once in a while he comes out with a fucking, an action thriller, and people go, ooh, and it makes like 300 million at the box office, and cha-ching, Jared's back in the game. And then he brings out another 10 fucking stinkers, and then back again. What's next? Fucking Olympus has risen. Oh yeah, 300 million from Jared Butler. Robert Downey Jr. doesn't give a shit.
Okay, so that's Loki, everyone. We'll be watching to the end. I'll be watching to the end of it. You do what you want. But so this is now like we've had a look at three Disney TV shows now. So can you imagine Ms. Marvel? You know, one of the first sort of inhuman mutants. Can you imagine the TV show She-Hulk? We're going to have, you
Yeah,
know, yeah, in this
I'm
style.
super. I am super. I'm super looking forward to She-Hulk. Like
I was
I'm
worried.
there.
I was worried She-Hulk would look, because you've got to have this CGI motion captured character in the all the time. You know, you
Yeah.
start. I don't think you can just paint somebody green and have them, you know,
But
somebody
She-Hulk was that character though, where she was very sexualized in the comics. Now I'm not saying that's a
I
good
don't
thing
know.
or a
I don't
bad
think.
thing, but she in
No,
the
you are.
comic
Come on,
books is
open up.
more
You are.
okay.
You are
Yeah,
completely safe, I think.
it's more aesthetically pleasing to look at a pair of she tits than to look. But we all want to look at a Hulk dong. That's the one thing we all want to see, Hulk dong. But
Stop
we want to
coming
see,
back onto penises. My God.
but we all want to see a bit of She-Hulk tits. Let's be honest. We want that erotic shower scene, that we were promised in Tomb Raider with Angelina Jolie when she was super hot. We never got it. All right,
Is
we
that
need it.
the one where she were banging Daniel Craig in the shower? Or was it Gerard Butler in the second
I
one?
think it was at the start of it. I think it was right at the start after she did like a big training session, and then she went in the
Yeah.
shower. She went in the shower, and that was the only reason I went to see the second movie. And it was like, oh, I gotta go see this. And then you got to
I
see her back and a top butt, and it was like,
always
no.
love it when people say that. It's like you go to see a PG film of Tomb Raider 2, and in the trailer, Angelina Jolie's in the shower, and you're like, might go along, might see some muff in this one. No, fucking PG film, but kids, there's not going to be any tear.
Paul, I did.
Did what see
Titty? Why do you think I wanted to go see Titanic? Somebody told me that. Somebody told me about the Winslet twins.
I've got to admit, that's the only reason I went to go see it twice, because of the chesticles.
Yeah, someone told me about the Winslet twins, and Cormac was there. You get to say, yeah. What? Pardon who?
In a world of video stores and late fees, when movies ain't what they used to be, one podcast will change the world. They will embark on a journey to look at the good and bad movies from the golden era of home video. And things are about to get nostalgic. The VHS will rise and screaming will fall.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Dave, this has got to be the worst promo I have ever heard.
No, it isn't.
If you're going down the route of the video trailer, man, Dave, I want a training montage.
Coming soon on a podcast near you. If you listen to one podcast this week, then you're probably listening to Joe Rogan. But if you've exhausted all other podcasts, then the VHS Strikes Back is one to try.
Army of the Dead. Dun 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 dun. Oh, so much annoyed me about this fucking film. Man. much fucking annoyed
first,
me.
First and foremost, right? First and foremost, did they purposely make it look like shit?
Yes. Well, not like, I don't think he meant it to look like shit. He went out and bought some very rare cameras. I don't know, something to do with the lenses. I'm not a camera lens guy, so I don't know, but basically we're all in soft focus like some dirty porno. It was just out of focus, it would jittery direction. I'm sure he was going for a look, but it didn't do it for me.
It just, you know, it struck me as one of these movies that someone sitting in an office somewhere thought and just looked at themselves and went, do you remember we had that idea with Zack Snyder that time about 6 years ago when we met and had something to eat, and then he mentioned something about zombies and stuff? Well, do you know what? His fucking Justice League movie came out there like a few months ago, that four-hour one that got all that stuff on online and people are talking about it. Nobody can stop fucking talking about Zack Snyder. Well, do you know what? Let's fucking get that guy back in again and do that zombie movie that we were talking about that one time, and let's just give him free reign and give him all this money.
And that's well, it. They used Red Monstro cameras. Very much like the 1960s cameras. Basically, Snyder found them on eBay, and it were to give that soft, organic look, almost dreamlike, out of focus.
You see, it's that kind of shit that people start to do when they start believing in themselves, and they start, you know, believing that they're bigger than what they are. You know, there were parts, obviously, in that. You know, the first thing that annoyed me about this movie was, you know, all the this stuff at the start that's kind of showing their story, you know, kind of right. thing. And these guys are mercenaries.
Okay, so first of all, spoilers coming up. If you haven't seen Army of the Dead, please go watch it first. Come back to us. Carry on. Because I always forget to say it.
But again, I wanted to love this movie because, you know, who doesn't love a fucking just balls out zombie movie? So even at the start, right at the start, do you know when they're shooting the zombie with a 60 cal? And literally the zombie just blows to pieces, and it's like they're taking off every piece of the body, that kind of stuff. I was like, you know what, yeah, I like that. But it kind of fell into some fucking movie trope thing. Like this guy, we're talking Dave Bautista, who, I'm sorry, he can't fucking act. Like he can't. He can barely fucking move his head. He can't fucking act. You know, he has killed his wife. These zombies have obviously came and whatever.
So it starts off basically that an unknown entity escapes into Las Vegas, and we then get the Zack Snyder montage of Las Vegas falling to a zombie outbreak. Fast forward a year, so many years, and Las Vegas is decimated. There's a wall been built around the city. Dave Bautista is living with the horror of having killed his wife, we learn. And a Japanese businessman approaches Bautista to put together a team to go in and steal $200 million in lost currency that's in a safe underneath a hotel in Las Vegas.
Well done.
Thank you. I didn't even read that. That was just me.
Well done. No, I seen you do that verbatim. That was impressive.
I was quite impressed by that. Yeah.
Can I tell you the first thing that annoyed me about this movie?
Go ahead, because I've got about 25 of those.
So he loves his wife so much. So there's the scene where his wife has changed into a zombie and she's trying to beat through the door to get to the daughter. Yeah. And he's pointing the gun at her and he's giving it the So then he puts the gun down, walks over to his loving wife with a knife.
Sticks
it through the bottom of her fucking head.
Yeah. No, right through the top.
Oh, sorry, right through the top of the skull. So it's like, I'm watching. Hold on. So this loving woman who's birthed you a child, you instead of, you know, having that non kind of contact, you know, killing of shooting her and then forgetting about it, you decide to pull a fucking knife out and walk up to her and stick it in her fucking head.
Yeah. Straight through the skull. It's one of the most violent murders I've ever seen. And damn right, you're fucking living with that. You could have put one bullet in back of it. We should have dropped. That isn't even the start of it. This film, overall for me, so first of all, I didn't want to like it because it's another fucking Zack Snyder vehicle for, I don't know, whatever his fans are now, because a lot of them have gone fucking quiet after this piece of shit came out. And, right, so we're playing Zack Snyder bingo. Weird, out of focus direction, dodgy camera work, shaky, out of focus, tick. Montage opening, tick. Fucking convoluted storyline that doesn't even need to be there.
I genuinely couldn't follow half of the storyline that was going on. Why does every single character need to have some kind of arc to their storyline? Ultimately, a zombie movie should be fucking simple. Zombies are there, kill zombies, get to safety, or get to where you need to be.
Instead, we've got a side story of daughter, Batista's daughter, who's working at one of the volunteer camps, and her friend is abducted or sent into the zombie zone, and she's got to be rescued.
We've got the other story that's still in that camp of the guy, the rapey kind of guy who
Theo Rossi, the guy who wants that in a
minute. Yeah, so we've got that kind of angle as well. Right. But not only that, we've got the coyote's backstory. We've got the woman who's trying to get her daughter backstory. We've got Batista's daughter's backstory. Then we've got Batista's back, and it's just like, fuck me, I genuinely was halfway through it, I paused it, me and Rachel were looking at each other, and I was like, Rachel, I'm not following this at all, there's too much going on.
More Zack Snyder bingo. Cover songs. He used a cover song once. In a film, he used a cover song once, and it kind of got over. People were happy, you know, people picked up on it. And now, I must have counted 5 different cover versions of songs slowed down in this. It is just overkill. Speaking of overkill, this film was 2.5 hours long.
Yeah.
This film was 30 minutes shorter than Endgame.
Yeah.
It is for a zombie heist movie. Now, and it is cliched to hell. We have the cold opening of the thing being held under military guard that escapes. We get the Zack Snyder, which some people say it's a really good opening montage. I think it's shit.
It's not good at all.
It's somebody doing an impersonation of Zack Snyder. Snyder's doing one of those because he's expected to do an opening montage now. The convoluted story's there. The narrative was all over the place. One minute we're seeing them escaping, but then they're saying, no, that's not how it's going to happen. All I could think of was the Rick and Morty heist episode. It's like somebody has made the joke about a heist where
you
the go around.
I'm in.
Son of a bitch, I'm in. The go around different locations, a bar, a racetrack, a shop. They go and pick up somebody else with a different skill. You son of a bitch, I'm in. That's exactly what they were fucking doing in this one. They go find this guy, that guy, the safecracker, and they're looking like, yeah, I'm in. Yeah, I'm in. It's like, Jesus Christ. What happened to the guy who was given a backstory that turned up for the first mission and they went, oh, you mean I actually have to go in to see the zombies? No, I'm out. See you later. And you're expecting something to happen with him. And he's like, no, I'm out. I'm off. And
yeah, he was gonna be on a rope on the helicopter grabbing people with Tig Notaro.
It fucks off. And that's it. He was in that film for no reason. They didn't drag him back. They didn't kill him because he knew it. It didn't add an air of danger. They could have killed him in the car park and gone, any of you else want to leave? No, you know, and it adds an air of, oh, well, we've got to do it now. But they just fuck off.
But it was like the thing that got to me as well was, like, genuinely, they made so much of a big deal at the start of this movie about who was getting what cut of the money, right?
Yeah.
So they made so much about this. And I kept thinking to myself, oh, this is going to be good because, you know, they're going to, it's going to get internal. People are going to find out how much they're going to be getting because they made so much of a deal about one person's, these three people are going to get 15 million. Then the 5 million is going to get split up between all these guys. You know, the safecracker's only getting 100 grand. You know, the fucking YouTuber's getting 300 grand, but he's going to split it between his friends. I'm like, oh, okay. They're all going to get, no, it's just forgotten about.
No, it's just whatever.
It's not part of the story. It's not part of the fucking, you know, of them falling out. They don't get even the chance to fall out. They don't even get a chance to talk about it. And it's kind of like, I don't understand, as you say, I don't understand why you give things depth in a movie. And a 2.5 hour movie as well, you know, let's be honest, there's hour and a half movies out there that have more fucking, that have a lot more content that actually gels together, you know, than a 2.5 hour movie.
And you said it yourself, if he's got to put a film in a cinema, 2 hours, 2 hours 15 maximum, cinemas dictate that. This is no longer a world where cinemas dictate anything. Because Netflix compared to make a film, and not, let's be honest, good cast, solid looking cinematography, as in it looked good. It was, I don't think it was well directed. The CGI was good, the stunts were good, it was, you know, it was explosions going off, it was everything you want from an action zombie movie. But it was 2.5 hours long.
Yeah,
you could have easily trimmed 15 minutes off this. And I'm much leaner. Now, going right back to that beginning, you mentioned Theo Rossi there as the rapey prison guard.
Mm-hmm.
When do you think this was filmed? Must have been within the last 18 months. Because he was doing just as well. So maybe it was just before. The thing with the thermometer and checking the temperatures to see if they turn into zombies. And you're just looking at somebody taking a temperature check. And for somebody who has to take a temperature check every day when you get into work. And you think if it beeps red, you're not allowed in. Suddenly everyone looks
at you
and stuff. And I'm just thinking, was he making a point there? Is this what the world could be like?
You see, I don't know if this. I had that feeling as well, and it made me feel a wee bit icky. And it was kind of like, are you trying to make a point, or I don't understand the current climate that we're living in, where people I have to, you know, take my temperatures and walking into work, you know, digitally and stuff like that there. But that kind of fucked me up a wee bit as well. But, you know, actually watching this movie, I one thing just kept slipping into my head: how much input has Zack Snyder actually gave to this movie? Because I think we had the conversation a while ago. If Zack Snyder's doing action set pieces, generally they're fucking top quality. You know, they are good. You know, they are good set pieces, and there are some really good action set pieces in this movie. You know, the bit where they finally get into the vault, and the guy who's working with the Japanese guy gets out, and then he leaves them in the vault.
Yeah.
That scene was probably my favorite within the whole movie. You know, that whole action sequence of the zombies coming down the elevator shaft, you know, him locking the guy in the safe, all that. But I really enjoyed all that. But everything else doesn't have a Zack Snyder print on it, if you know what I mean.
For me, you've got the, that opening scene, I think, was very much Snyder. You know, the opening, like the cold opening where the thing gets lit. I mean, that montage, obviously. But for me, the shootout in the casino where all the jackpot machines are, and you've got the slow motion money raining down from the ceiling. Slow motion gunfire, money raining from the ceiling, spinning camera shots around you. It was everything Snyder. And this is Zack Snyder that did Dawn of the Dead in 2004. And it was on the back of 28 Days Later that had popularized the idea of zombies that can run. Mm-hmm. And Dawn of the Dead, which was remaked, it was actually, you know, maligned by some sort of hardcore zombie fans because those zombies were running and Romero's never ran. And this is Zack Snyder's sort of return to sort of making a zombie movie. And there's some films that, when it comes to, like, you know, you have a really good idea like Underworld, Vampires versus Werewolves. God, I've just gone totally blank. Alien versus Predator, an Alien versus a Predator, Xenomorph versus Predator. And they always have to go one step too far and merge them together. So you got the Pred-Alien in Alien 2, Alien versus Predator 2. You get that lichen vampire hybrid of Corbin in Underworld. And in this, you're getting this super smart zombie. But you've got some dumb shufflers, but you've got some that are super smart. And it's like, so for me, this was a mix between Ocean's 11, Gears of War, and Dead Left 4 Dead game, video game. And I, for me, would have just much preferred get rid of all the extra side subplots of people kidnapped by smart zombies and all this shit. And I would have either shuffling or running zombies, packs of them. And just imagine the tension of having to go. I was tense at the thought of somebody having to go across Las Vegas, the imagery that that brings with that, avoiding packs of zombies. I don't need super smart zombies with queens and zombie babies inside them. And
yeah,
it's just...
Well, my question was this. If they can create... If the king zombie can create this sub-genre of super smart zombies, why the fuck didn't he make every single one of them super smart zombies?
Because you have to have some that are dumb. I don't... That's what I mean. It's like, I don't get it. I don't... And it was just...
And if zombies are so smart, you know, the coyote, you know, at the start of it, when they first go in, we have to give, you know, them a sacrifice. We have to give them an offering because, you know, they'll leave us alone if we leave them alone and stuff like that there. And it was like, okay, so you've given them the offering. These zombies are smart, right? These zombies know their surroundings. They know what's happening. So if these zombies were smart at all, so the whole point is, you know, this Las Vegas is going to get nuked on the 4th of July. So they have to get the money out before the 4th of July, before it gets nuked, right? So at what point do the American army withdraw their soldiers from the wall, right? So
in the middle of the film, that's happening.
Yeah. So that wall is unprotected.
Yeah.
That wall is completely unprotected. Yeah?
Yeah.
So these
these
super fucking smart zombies who they have to give fucking offerings to let them loose in the city. They know when we're entering. They always know where we are. Okay, so you're telling me that they know where you are, they know when you're entering, but they don't know what's going on the other side of that fucking wall. You know, one of them maybe who's standing at the top of a building watching the American army, you know, go away. You know, and that the wall is unprotected. How the fuck do these super fucking smart zombies not know that that wall is unprotected? They're adding in so much stuff. They're adding in so much stuff where, oh, these zombies are super smart, but they're making really, really stupid fucking decisions.
Yeah. And like I say, I keep going back to the point of, I prefer the zombies. I don't care whether they run or shuffle. I don't give a fuck. But the whole idea is they are undead killing machines. I don't want it to have a personality. When you start giving Jason a personality, you know, I know he's got the personality of the son and the killer and everything, but as soon as you start sympathizing with him, and you start, like, now you're looking at that king zombie and him weeping over the death of his baby, there is some element of human nature where you go, oh man, he just lost his baby. It don't matter that he's a fucking monstrous killer. You feel sympathy for... I don't want to feel sympathy for them. I want to see that group of 10 people in the next 2 hours, get to the center of that city, reduced down to 2 people because you've all been eaten by zombies, and then you get in a helicopter and fly away. And then me, you, and Rachel start arguing over which card you should have used at the end of the board game. Because
listen, do we need to get into this again?
No, remember,
we emailed the creator of the game.
You emailed somebody. You emailed somebody. It could have been the fucking your doctor.
We all did it. All right, listen. We're all competitive. Do you not remember the time that... Do you not remember the time that I fucked Rachel over on the zombies and she left?
I'm glad you finished that one. I'm glad you finished that sentence.
Do you not remember that? And she called me a fucking asshole. And she called me a fucking asshole and streamed out of the room.
She was raging. So we basically play this video game called Zombies with 3 exclamation marks. And it's one of these role-playing games where you put each piece of the city down as a piece of the playing board. And you move your character through the city, collecting ammo and killing zombies with rolls of dice as you move through the board. And the idea is you get to the center square, land on the helicopter and fly away. Now, I take defeat I don't like it. I love winning and I hate losing. But I like to think I've got a bit of British stiff upper lip about it. You are as gracious a winner.
I am the worst.
You're the worst winner.
Anybody that knows me.
Awful winner. There is no sportsmanship to you. You are smug. You are just awful, and you change instantly.
I would spit in a child's face and laugh if I win. That's how bad I am.
Now, what you once said to me about Rachel, you said you don't need to know anything else other than she will prepare for this board game zombies as if she is trying to survive a zombie apocalypse. She would have a plan. And she would know, and her plan would include her bow of 15 years or so helping her escape the city to this helicopter. What did you do, Cobb?
Killed her. sent her right back to the start.
You dropped a card in front of her. She was, I think it was literally like, think of this as a board game.
I'm almost sure that it was that she was two spaces away from the helicopter.
She was doing the Willem Dafoe run out of the jungle in Platoon, heading towards the helicopter. Your Viet Cong stood up, threw a card at her, and that card said, instantly lose two hearts and go back to the center square. And I stood there like the other side of the map, eating a biscuit or something, just like, oh, what's going on? And you're running towards the helicopter and escaping. And her face was, it was more... How could you do this to me?
Yeah, it was. I don't believe she actually spoke to me properly for 2 days after.
Oh, no, she was shifting with you definitely the next day.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, I truly and ultimately fucked her. But therein lies the problem. I'm such a bad winner. I didn't even apologize.
I laughed at it. You know, my ex, Voldemort, she... But she woke up one morning, she had this fucking face on her, different to any other morning. I said, what's up with you? I had a dream last night that you cheated on me and tried to kill me. I said, all right, well, obviously it's just a dream, you know? Yeah. She's staring at me like, that's your fucking fantasy world. It's your subconscious fucking telling you that I'm trying to kill you. And instantly it's true. And I'm sat there just trying to like fucking watch... match of the day on Saturday morning, whatever. I'm just like, fucking hell, love. No, yeah. So anyway, let's play zombies again next time we meet. What did you think of the casting of the helicopter pilot Tig Notaro, the cigar chomping, short haired, sunglass wearing helicopter pilot? What do you think of that character?
So, like, obviously, I know it was supposed to be for Chris. So obviously he
said so many times because I don't think we can do it again.
He had his little problems with sending nude pictures to underage girls after comedy shows.
As soon as he gets off stage, zip.
Paul, I'm not even joking. There's a great if anybody's listening and you can go to YouTube and type in Chris D'Elia finds out Instagram doesn't delete photographs, right? So he's doing a radio show and they're sitting talking and stuff like that. And he's actually talking about the fact that, oh yeah, there's girls who always, you know, send me photos and stuff and after shows and things like that there. And the guys are laughing with him being the whole fucking bro stuff. Yeah, and you fuck them and stuff like that. It was, yeah, well, you know, sometimes I send the old dick pic, but Instagram, you know, cuts away and then it deletes it. And the guy's like, oh no, that's Snapchat, man. And you could see his face going, what? And it's like, no, that's Snapchat. Snapchat deletes the photographs. And he's like, no, Instagram does that as well. And then the two radio hosts are like, no, that's Snapchat. Instagram doesn't delete photographs, man. And he's like, okay. And you can see his reality just going, oh, fuck. But Tig Notaro, I've actually watched...
Never heard of that one.
I've actually watched a comedy show with Tig Notaro.
What on earth are you doing? You've just again. This is not a visual podcast. I'm watching you on your Zoom. You lay back. You put your hand on your groin and go. And I'm watching you with your head back, one hand over your eyes, like you're doing something perverted on a bus that you just don't even want to be seen doing. I can only see your head up. It's like the worst OnlyFans account ever. And then you just carry on like, oh, well, the Tig Notaro. No, Cobb, if you've just jacked yourself off, we're cancelling this whole show right now.
Do you know when you move? Oh, do you know when you move and your muscle just pulls and it feels as if it's been pulled apart? Oh,
wow.
You're like lying in bed sometimes and your muscle just gets that pain that shoots up your leg?
Like cramp.
Oh! Jesus Christ. Yeah, I like Tig Notaro. Oh,
I tell you what, should we just have a break while you stretch your leg out?
Oh, sir. Fiddly D.
So, Tig Notaro.
Yeah, Tig Notaro. Yeah, I actually quite enjoyed her in the movie. You know, there was the odd, you know, cheesy, kind of corny bit that was kind of added in. You can kind of tell as well that, you know, the CGI and stuff was really, really bad whenever he was doing the group sessions with everybody.
It just didn't seem right, did it? There was something that fell off, and I'll be honest, I thought she replaced Chris Dillon. I didn't know that they'd just digitally masked over.
Yeah. It was all shot. Yeah, it was all shot, and then this stuff came out, and Netflix were the ones that actually went, we can't have them in it, so we're just paying for you to digitally put her in.
And I read a lot that was why her character was quite masculine. Quite a lot of the, you know, oddball comedy jokes, all that kind of stuff. It's because that was meant for him. He was the one doing all that. And she just had to mime over it and voice over the same dialogue afterwards. So it's a strange situation. I think hopefully it's not going to happen too much often, you know, with like, what was the Kevin Spacey one? All the menace, all the money in the world.
All the money in the world, yeah.
So it is happening more and more, but now the technology is there to write people out of your film, and it doesn't really matter, does it? So what do you make of this then, Army of the Dead? I mean, look, I think
I would genuinely get people to watch it just to see how confusing and how fucking weird that it is. You know, it had everything behind it to make it a success. You know, it had Zack Snyder off the back of his popularity with Justice League. It had Netflix's power and money. It had,
Batista,
you know...
Batista is a star.
He is.
He might not be the best actor, but he is a star. He's an action star.
He is. You know, and, you know, let's be honest, it had quite a good, you know, supporting cast to it as well, who didn't really get to shine at all. You know, we didn't even get to the point of, you know, this fucking safecracker who, you know, the German guy, and they're all talking about how much of a good safecracker, he's the best in the world, blah, 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 blah. Literally, it took him like 2 minutes to open it up, and all he did was move the dials. Like,
he had really good hearing.
Yeah, it wasn't as if it was some fucking real, you know, Ocean's 11 kind of break in. It was literally he opened up three dials on the safe, and it was like, is that it? is that everything? I thought there would have been a twist, you know, where there would be no money in the safe. You know, I thought, you know, I kept thinking to myself, there's going to be a twist. There's going to be this twist. And, you know, yes, we got the twist that, you know, they only went in there to get the head of that zombie, you know, but I don't know. It's just, it got so confusing. It was so confusing.
This did absolutely nothing original for heist films, Las Vegas films, zombie films. It has used, like I say, it's used tired tropes from zombie films. It's used the heist cliche. It's using the cliche of it's actually the big corporation want to use it to make an army, right? You know, the same thing they've done in Alien, the same thing they've done in Jurassic Park. It's just the same shit over and over again. And it does nothing. It's done nothing original. There was nothing original in this film. It was a lot of cool looking stuff. It's Zack Snyder playing with his toy box, and he does it well. Don't get me wrong, and we've always said he does action scenes really well, but it's all the bits that hold it together that is absolute
dog shit. It's the story that fucking blows it up.
And do you know what? The same thing, I had the same problem with Justice League as I have with this. It was probably 10 minutes too long. Because...
10 minutes?
No, sorry. And I'll tell you exactly why. The film should have ended 10 minutes before it did.
Oh, because
Daughter's off. big spoilers coming now. Batista's gone, and she's going off into the... I'm still sniffling here. And she goes off into the sunset or whatever. And as soon as that guy got put into that safe and locked in there by the safe cracker, I fucking knew what was going on. Yeah. Because you bomb something. Now, that safe withstood a nuclear blast of Las Vegas, but it then broke open and he was able to crawl out of it. Now, this whole extra scene, it was as if Netflix said, set it up for a sequel. Whereas yeah. Justice League, they said, don't set it up for a sequel, and he still did whatever the fuck he wanted. With this, he's done an extra scene on the end that wasn't needed. And, you know, in terms of this breaking away from what's normal, what realistically human people would do, you walk into an airport, obviously looking like you've just been in a nuclear explosion, with a bag of used notes, probably in the millions, in a big duffel bag. And the woman goes, no, you can't get on that plane. That's belonged by somebody else. And you just dump cash on a counter in an airport. And then you go, oh, come on in. Jump on the plane. Let's take you away somewhere. And I work for a company that sells fucking dishwashers. And you could not walk up to the door with 10 grand cash and buy a bunch of dishwashers because of the things such as money laundering and fraud and things. It just wouldn't happen. It looks cool. You don't want to always want to walk into an airport and slap some money down. In the real world, it would not fucking happen. The money covered in fucking dust and blood. Oh, yeah, let's just take that because we've got the funds to be able to do this. And what is the delay time in somebody becoming a zombie in this film? Because he was in that bomb. Obviously, the whole explosion would have had to settle down. He's emerged. He's walked to the airport, which is probably, about 3 miles out of the center of Las Vegas. And then he started turning into a fucking zombie. It's like...
Yeah.
Probably it could be like days later, but everybody else turns within a couple of fucking hours. There's no concept other than it looks.
Not even a couple of hours. You know, not even a couple of hours. Like Batista, in the reality of the whole movie, Batista changed in 20 minutes.
So what's the crack with zombies? Is it saliva in your blood turns you into a zombie? Is that what it is?
I always believed that it was blood. I always thought to myself that if a zombie bites you, that pockets of blood, of their own blood would be all over their body and it would just get into your own bloodstream. So maybe dependent on how much of the blood gets into you, if you're proper bitten, then you change instant. You know, if you've been nibbled, you know, maybe you've got a couple of hours.
You remember all these scenes where they're all stood in a circle, back to back in a circle, all with the big 50 cals, the guy using a fucking chainsaw on zombies, all this. Not one speck of fucking blood drops in the mouths, yeah. On their eyes, up the nose. There's fucking gallons of blood everywhere. And it's just like, why in a zombie apocalypse, when you're trying to avoid getting their fluid in your body, would you go and attack one with a fucking chainsaw? Other than it looks cool, chainsawing a zombie in half. I just, the one bit I did like was the booby trap in the hallway where the big, where the walls clamped into the zombie and sort of pulled it.
I never got that.
Did you not?
No, because it's like, why would you booby trap that part of walking into the safe? Do you know what I mean? Like, why would you booby trap that part?
So you
doesn't make any there. Doesn't make any sense. No, but it doesn't make any sense.
But it looks cool.
Like if
that's,
you're gonna
booby trap films all
if you're
over.
Gonna if you're gonna booby trap something, booby trap the door.
Yeah. It doesn't make any sense, but it looks cool. That is our review. Army of the Dead. And you know, the next thing he does, I guarantee it's going to not make any sense, but it'll look cool.
And listen, I will watch it in the hope that he hits 300 heights again. I will still watch it. You know, I will still semi-enjoy Snyder's movies. You know, well, this I think it was just a cash grab from Netflix. Let's just, he's on a high when it comes to Justice League. Let's try and just get this movie made as fast as possible.
I'm guessing this was filmed before Justice League reshoots were announced. I think it would have
already... I would say yes, but I would say that it has been fast-tracked, and I think that's part of, and now I was reading an article online earlier as well about, you know, there's a lot of dead pixels in the movie as well. Yeah. So there's a hell of a lot of scenes. Now I noticed a few things, but I thought it was just the shitty camera stuff that they were trying to pull off.
How many robot zombies did you see?
See, I never saw one.
I didn't see a single fucking one. Apparently, there's loads.
Yeah, I never saw one.
Single one. I've seen clips of them. What was all that about? Why go to all that?
Do you know what
it's
I ultimately...
world building, man. It's world
building. Yeah, no,
Zach,
do you know what
Zach's
I
Zach's really good at that. Zach and Deborah are really good at that.
What I ultimately thought, right, was that they were going to try and sneak this into the DC universe somehow. And I was waiting for something. I was just waiting for something. And it was just anything for Snyder just to get that wee bit of fucking power back again. Like, you know, we all know that he loves to fucking pull the power. And I just thought, what's he going to add in? Are we going to see, like fucking something going across the sky? Are we going to see the fucking, you know, Martian Manhunter green fucking... And I'm like, what's going to add in here? And that's what I thought the robot... When you said robots to me, I was like, oh, fuck, here we go.
I am wondering when this was filmed, because there was a lot of nods towards Trump being president. So the first one was talking about nuking it and they're saying, we're going to nuke Las Vegas. It's what needs to be done. Plus it's, what is it? A really cool idea. Cool.
Yeah, it would look really cool on the 4th of July. Yeah.
And you're kind of guessing, you know. And then the sort of, well, we're bringing it a day forward because we're busy on the 4th, so what the hell? And it's kind of this assumption that Trump's government would just bring forward the nuclear destruction of Las Vegas by a day, because who wants to do that on the 4th of July? I thought that was kind of clever, but this absolutely did nothing new for heist films or zombie films. And like I say, that's my review of it.
If they had cut it up into and made it a bit longer and made it into maybe like a 10-part TV show.
Or like 4-hour-long episodes.
Or maybe 4-hour-long. Yes.
There's a load of prequels and comic books and all sorts of offshoots. There's this whole universe for this coming now. Maybe we're going to get an origin film for the fucking tiger.
I'm not interested.
I like the tiger biting the guy in the head.
But you see, but the problem with it as well is it wasn't as gory as I wanted it to be.
It was gory. Like the first 15 minutes I thought was real gory. And I thought that's how it was going to be for the whole film. And then it kind of just eased off. Yeah. I was expecting like stomachs ripped out and, you know, old fashioned Night of the Living Dead kind of throat rips and all that. I mean, there was the jaw coming off, wasn't there? That was good.
I thought when the tiger bit the guy's head as well, I thought it would pull it and you could see the head kind of splitting apart, and that would have been cool.
But like I say, for me, nothing original. It looked cool, but completely confusing.
Yeah, 100%.
Welcome to I Hate Your Taste in Movies. I'm Jackie, and I love action movies, but I really hate horror movies.
I'm Jen. I love horror movies, but I just can't stand musicals.
And I'm Austin. I love all things musical, but I absolutely hate action movies.
Join us each week as we share our all-time favorite movies with our friends who will just rip them apart.
You can listen to us, I Hate Your Taste in Movies, on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you find your podcasts.
And don't forget to follow us on social media. We're on Twitter at I Hate Your Taste and on Instagram at Hate Your Taste Pod.
Join us as we put our friendship to the test every week and learn surprising things about each other.
Like how Austin saw the movie Pitch Perfect in theaters 12 times.
Which is perfectly acceptable. Or how Jackie played with oil cans as a child.
Normal childhood behavior. Or how watching a zombie movie makes Jen want to eat chicken wings.
There is absolutely nothing wrong with that.
We release new episodes every Tuesday.
And for the record, I hate your taste in movies.
You're in a bit of pain there, aren't you, lad?
I'm wiggling my legs. Only you can see.
Oh, I can see. I can see it is Gloria. I'm going to, you know, there is actually a video of this saved. I might put this on Twitter, just a GIF of you like that. So I hope we don't have to speak about Zack Snyder for too long, but next week we're doing Sucker Punch, and then the following week we'll have to do 300 at some point.
No. I actually quite like 300, but I think now is the time where we don't talk about Snyder anymore. That's it, we're done. He's done.
Until his next film comes out.
Until the next one, yeah, of course.
Yeah. So next week we are going to be discussing Guy Ritchie. Guy fucking Ritchie.
Guy Ritchie, mate.
Of Lock, Stock, Snitch.
Snitch, Revolver.
Revolver, Jesus, Revolver.
Sherlock Holmes. What was that
Man
one he did
Uncle?
With Castaway? Castaway? Was it Castaway that he did? What was the movie that he did with Madonna?
Swept away.
Yeah.
But mainly we're going to be looking at his new film, Wrath of Man, with Jason Statham. And one that I want you to watch, which I think you'll really enjoy, actually, King Arthur, Legend of the Sword. I mentioned it last week, starring David Beckham. You going to get that watched?
I'm going to shock you, Paul.
What?
I've already watched it.
What do you think of it?
You'll find out.
Save it for me. So yeah, how's the old football prediction coming on? I said Italy and Harry Kane as top scorer. Who did you say? Giroud.
I think I said France and
Giroud. You did say
think,
Giroud.
No, did I? I think I was joking though.
Literally at the end of the episode. Giroud. No, you weren't joking.
But I did say never count out the Italians. That was one thing that I did say.
You did. You did say it.
But France looked like an awful, awful, awful powerful team.
They do, don't they? But I'm still thinking outside North Macedonia would have a chance of nicking it.
Come on, Goran Pandev. Let's go, Goran Pandev.
Okay, so yeah, next week we are going to be talking Guy Ritchie. So come and tune in for that. Subscribe to us. Follow us on Twitter at PodMovieChef. Where you can sample all of our delights that we serve you up. Cormac, tell us how the Instagram's going.
Yep.
Okay, so that's us for this week. We are going to go stick knives in the heads of our zombified lovers. Say goodnight, Cormac.
Fucking hell, I'm going to have to go inside and kill the family now.
Cheers.
Bye.
But hold on a second. How did it come out? Like, how did they...
The boy's mother ended up finding it.
Fucking
finding
haters.
It? What do you mean? The Snapchat goes away, right? How they...
He probably saved it. You can screen record, take screenshots.
Wow.
You gotta know that that's gonna happen. Some people do some crazy shit.
Yeah, it says, teen's parent reportedly found the photos on his phone, which he saved from Snapchat. Mm-hmm. Also, mom, quit being a cock block. Who knows where this would have went, you know? Am I right, fellas?
Odd. Why have your student... Why have a 15-year-old... Why... Yeah, the whole thing is just...
Now, I'm getting the word... Not...